The background to Rushton's West Indian eclogues. The eclogue is a poetic form involving dialogue between two or three characters, originating with the Roman poet Theocritus in the 3rd century BC and made famous by Virgil in the 1st century BC. In Virgil's hands, they explore a pastoral world of shepherd and shepherdesses whilst risking some oblique satirical swipes at the empire of Augustus Caesar. There is nothing oblique in Rushton's eclogues. He had, after all, seen the brutalities of the plantation in person. The landscape descriptions that open the poems are visions of hell, and the cruelties practiced on the slaves are graphic and horrible. Perhaps most importantly, the black characters in Rushton's poems give vent to anger and a desire for revenge. In Rushton's sensitive and imaginative hands, this yearning for vengeance is justified. In this, it's unique. Other anti-slavery poets, such as Wordsworth, usually limited their identification with slaves to expressions of sympathy and a desire to see an end to slavery. Rushton's poetic expression was sufficiently explosive for the time that his close friend, Reverend William Shepherd, carefully censored certain passages for the first posthumous edition. Here, censored at the time, is the heroic Jumba speaking. "What? Tamely die? No, vengeance first shall fall on tyranny. We'll view these white men gasping in their gore. Then let me perish. Jumba asks no more." Rushton was certainly primarily driven to write the eclogues by his own first-hand experience. However, certain aspects of the poems could have been influenced by Aphra Behn's 1688 novel, Orinoco, or by a number of its theatre adaptations, of which the most overtly committed to the abolitionist cause was The Prince of Angola, by Mancunian writer John Ferriar, 1788. There are also strong Shakespearean echoes, particularly in Loango's angry jealousy. Loango's anguish over his wife's rape by their slave driver owner echoes King Lear, but particularly Othello. Loango. "How if she like the white, his gaudy clothes, his downy bed for pleasure and repose, his shrivelled frame, his sickly pallid face, and finds a transport in his weak embrace? It may be so. Oh, vengeance on her head! It is, she likes the driver's bed." In turn, Rushton's scene painting may have influenced Robert Southey's Botany Bay eclogues, published a decade later. Contemporary reaction to the poems was cautious. Even those respecting the author's obvious anti-slavery stance worried about the voice of black rebellion which rings out so clearly. This from the Monthly Review of December 1787. "We applaud the author for the humanity of his design, but there is some impropriety in making the Negroes, the interlocutors in these eclogues, chiefly employ themselves in venting imprecations and planning revenge against their oppressors. It is doubtless extremely natural for them to do so, but as the principal design of this performance is to excite pity for the unhappy slaves, their various calamities, not their impatience, should have been chiefly dwelt upon." The word "unhappy" to describe enslaved Africans recurs repeatedly in the mouths of apologists for slavery and later African colonialism. It is as if these unfortunate people are born unhappy. It is their natural condition, rather than the result of enslavement and extreme violence. They need to be helped out of their unfortunate state by those more enlightened than themselves. The review continues in a more overtly racist vein. The author wishes, quote, "his eclogues in their humble sphere may contribute to prevent excessive punishments from being unnecessarily inflicted." A little reflection would have told him that the tears and supplications, not the impotent rage and defiance of the wretched, are most likely to melt their persecutors' hearts, if formed, as we trust some of our West India planters are, of penetrable stuff. The Haitian Revolution, led by African slaves, was only 4 years away, and there were to be many, many other slave revolts. So much for the impotent rage and defiance of the wretched. Betraying slaves as the passive recipients of sympathy, supplications, rather than active agents in their own emancipation, constructive rage, was a common theme until very recently. Rushton manages to break with it over 200 years ago.